This reshaping, restructuring that Christ is doing in our lives requires sacrifice. And this word conjures up Old Testament images of stone altars, blood trickling down marble steps, the raised, flashing knife of the priest preparing to slit the throat of some bleating beast. Sacrifice is not a pleasant word.
That's the Reverend Susan Crowell, and today she brings you a powerful message on the transformative power of grace. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to welcome the Reverend Susan J. Crowell, senior pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Susan went to Trinity as associate pastor in 1995 and became senior pastor in 2002. She is a graduate of Furman University and earned her Master of Divinity degree from Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina. She is active in a number of ways in her synod, in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and in her community. Susan, welcome to Day One.
Hi.
I understand you went to Trinity actually in 1993 as a pastoral intern and never left. Trinity is a beautiful and thriving church in downtown Greenville. How would you describe the church and its people?
The reason I continue to stay at Trinity, I'll tell it to you that way, is that the people are so committed to ministry in the community. We are in the center of downtown Greenville, and so there are many opportunities for ministry with folks who are struggling and hurting. And our congregation, we never miss an opportunity to reach out and extend God's love and grace to the community.
Say more about that. What are some of the ways that they do serve the community?
Sure. We've been a part of the Greenville Area Interfaith Hospitality Network for, I think, about 15 years now. And so we host homeless families in our building 4 weeks a year, and we partner with 12 other congregations in the area to provide that ministry. We have a newer ministry that started a couple of years ago, Backpack Buddies. So we feed 188 children every weekend during the school year, and we partner with Harvest Hope Food Bank to provide the food for those bags so that we can feed hungry children in the community. We also, I think, do a really good job taking care of our own people when folks are struggling, when they're older or sick, and just providing care, meals, traveling to doctor's appointments, those kinds of things.
Wonderful. So having served there in one way or another since 1993, you've no doubt seen a lot of changes in your church and the community. How do you manage to thrive in the face of those changes?
We're consistently faithful, even when like significant changes in Greenville or significant changes in the ELCA and in the whole church. Our congregation, we've been able to focus on mission and ministry and not get distracted by a lot of other things that are happening in the world. And I really credit that to just focus, that there's a lot of focus at Trinity, that people really believe in the mission and want to stay focused on the important things.
As we'll hear in your sermon, when you were in high school, you worked as a nursing assistant. How did that help get you started toward a call in the ordained ministry?
It was a formative experience for my call to ordained ministry. Compassion and humility and the joy that comes from caring for people that are hurting. In fact, I wondered, after being a nursing assistant and then I was also did that kind of work with hospice, I wondered if people would still talk to me in the same way once I was an ordained leader, if somehow with that professionalism, there might be a barrier that went up, and I worried about that, and that has not been the case, but there's something about caring for people's personal needs where folks just talk to you so openly and are very vulnerable with you, and it was the power of the human connection that I felt in those experiences and that I still feel in parish ministry today.
So how did you go from there to parish ministry? Why make that shift?
That's a great question, and I was asked that question then, too. My final year of college, I was a nursing assistant and did a little bit of chaplaincy work with hospice in Greenville, and it was a desire to do more, and I felt like I had something to say. And by that, I mean from the pulpit. I felt like I had something to say. I had a lot of nerves about the actual standing up and saying it. But there was a strong pull. I love to write. And so all those things kind of came together. I was looking at degrees in social work or public health. And, and it just became clearer over time. I mean, it was certainly over time, though, a discernment process that I really felt like God was calling me in the beginning to hospice ministry. That's what I felt like I was being called to. But then when I went to Trinity for my internship, I fell in love with parish ministry. And that's the only way I can describe it, is I had no intention of spending my career in parish ministry, but really fell in love with the people and the fact that you can stay with the people through tragedy and triumph, that you can be a consistent part of somebody's life.
You and your family have done a lot of traveling through Europe and the lands of the Bible. How have those experiences shaped your understanding of the world and our place in it?
Yeah, we've been really fortunate to see and do some amazing things around the world. And a part of that experience, the traveling has certainly been a part of that, but in our family, my husband's sister lives in Casablanca, Morocco, and we have visited her there, and she and her family, she became Muslim, and her family, her husband and three boys are all Muslim. So just the understanding that we all belong to God, that, you know, God holds the whole world in God's hands, that simple little song. But the more and more you see about that, it just, it makes you more open and welcoming to all people.
And the 500th anniversary of the Reformation is this October. Are you and Trinity Lutheran Church going to celebrate in some way?
We shall. Yes, we shall celebrate. We are kicking off that celebration October the 1st, which is the first Sunday in October. We'll be hosting a Reformation Festival, and we have folks who are already working on that, and it will be a it'll be a pretty big party on that Sunday, which will incorporate worship as well. And then throughout the month, we'll have different events and activities. We'll be hosting a viewing of the Luther movie that stars Joe Fiennes at a local theater. And we have several other activities that'll happen during the month. And then, of course, the final event will be worship on Sunday morning, Reformation Sunday.
You're very active as a church leader at a variety of levels, and you'll be joining the Board of Trustees of Novus Way Ministries in November. Tell us about that work.
Of all that work that I do, the things that have been, they're all meaningful and have great significance. But the work that I do with our candidacy committee in the South Carolina Synod, which is about lifting up and raising up new leaders for the church, that has been some of the most difficult work I've ever done and yet some of the most meaningful work. And then also my work with interns at the seminary. This fall, I'll begin work with our sixth intern. And what I've learned is how significant that role is, that of all the professors that seminary students have, if they're on internship with me, they actually spend more time with me than they could ever spend with a professor. So there's a sense of burden about that, but it's a real joy to be a part of the formation of future leaders of the church. So that's been a really awesome thing. And then you mentioned Novus Way, and a part of Novus Way is Lutheridge, Luther Rock Ministries. And so in my college career, I served as a counselor at Lutheridge, and I'd sort of always hoped that things would come full circle and I might be able to serve in that capacity. So I am just really ecstatic about the opportunity to be a part of that board.
Wonderful. Well, today your sermon focuses on the epistle lesson for this Sunday from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12. Would you read it for us?
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness.
Once again, Paul manages to pack a lot into a little section of Scripture. Susan, we look forward to learning more about all this in your sermon, The Transformative Power of Grace. Thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. When I was 15 years old, I began working at a little country restaurant in a neighboring town. I wore a gingham apron with matching kerchief to cover my hair, and I spent the evenings refilling tea and water glasses, visiting with the dinner guests, and taking care of their needs. I loved the job, and I thought that I was pretty good at it. Everything changed when the manager informed me that the girl who was hired to wash dishes wanted to work out front, and that the two of us would be alternating our jobs every other day. I was to wash dishes, something I didn't even do at home. I was appalled at the perceived injustice, because I could not stand the thought of washing dishes for 5 hours each evening. I quit. Several weeks later, I began working as a nursing assistant at a skilled nursing center a few towns away. I took the job without fully understanding the requirements. Instead of washing dishes, I washed people. My primary responsibility was to bathe and care for the personal needs of the patients assigned to me. I changed bed linens, refilled water pitchers, fed meals, and provided for the patients in my care. God used this experience to chip away at the pride, hypocrisy, and arrogance in my life, to teach me a lesson in humility. God didn't want me washing dishes. God wanted me washing people. God used that experience of caring for the personal needs of the sick, infirmed, and elderly to begin transforming me into the person God intended me to be. Transformation. Today's text from Paul's letter to the church in Rome is about transformation. Paul argues that in Christ, grace becomes the structuring reality in our daily lives. Christ calls us to practice humility and sacrifice, to center our lives around grace, and in so doing, God transforms us so that we can use our lives to transform the world. This reshaping, restructuring that Christ is doing in our lives requires sacrifice. And this word conjures up Old Testament images of screaming animals laid before stone altars, blood trickling down marble steps, the raised, flashing knife of the priest, preparing to slit the throat of some bleating beast. In order to transform us into the people God is calling us to be, we are called to sacrifice, and sacrifice is not a pleasant word. Sacrifice suggests doing without, giving something up. It involves pain, loss. There is a cost. When our daughter was 3 months old, she is 19 now, my husband and I made the decision that he would stay home to care for her. At the same time, we also made the decision to begin tithing to the work of God at Trinity Lutheran Church, where I serve as pastor. It was a risky decision. It was going to be a sacrifice. Just one of us would be working, and our one salary was a pastor's salary. But we knew that God was calling us to do this. We also knew that if we didn't begin the practice at this point in our lives, we might never do it. For 19 years, we have given at least 10% of our before-tax income to the work of God at Trinity Lutheran Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Some months we write the check gratefully and joyfully. some months we hesitantly ponder all the things we need or want, but we always write the check. Sacrificing for the church in this way continues to give our lives meaning, order, significance. God has used this sacrifice to transform our lives, to form us into the people God intended us to be. And the strange thing is, the sacrifice of tithing is not a sacrifice. It has been a great joy. This reshaping and restructuring that Christ is doing in our lives also requires humility. And humility is a real challenge for all of us. We are an arrogant, self-focused people. We want what we want when we want it. We can become so focused on our own wants and desires that we become blind to the needs, opinions, and concerns of others. In our pompousness, we begin to believe that the goodness and blessing in our lives is a result of who we are, a testament to our power and ability. Humility requires the dawning recognition that we are all completely reliant on the power of God at work in our lives. On our own, we can do nothing, but with the power of Christ at work in our lives, we can do all things. All of it, every good deed, every act of kindness, every gracious word spoken with gentleness, all of it is a testament to the power of God at work in and through us. Through compassion and humility, God is transforming our lives. When grace becomes the structuring reality in our lives, transformation occurs. We begin to see that all people have value and worth. We begin to recognize that God has gifted all people with unique gifts and abilities, special ways to support and build up God's kingdom. We come to understand that all gifts are equally important in the kingdom. The gift of teaching, the gift of preaching, the gift of washing dishes, the gift of washing people, the gift of compassion, the gift of cheerfulness, the gift of tithing. All gifts are equally valued in the eyes of God. When grace becomes the structuring reality in our lives, we begin to see the value and worth in every human being. We see ourselves as no better or no worse than any other person. We come to understand that as God's beloved, precious, baptized children, we are all loved, honored, valued, and celebrated. God is at work transforming our lives so that we might transform the world. Look at your own life. Consider the places where you are struggling. Think about the people who were difficult for you, the ones who have hurt you, the ones with whom you disagree, the ones who see the world so differently from you. How can you extend grace to that person? How can you infuse a word of grace into that situation? How can you model the grace of God for the world? God is reshaping and restructuring our lives around God's grace so that we can reshape and restructure the world around God's grace. God is transforming us for the sake of the world. It's up to us, people of faith, to enable the world to see and understand the value of every human being. God loves, honors, values, and celebrates all of humanity. This includes marginalized populations, the mentally ill, immigrants, the LGBTQIA community, the poor, the hungry, the homeless. This includes people of other faiths, Jews, Hindus, Muslims, and Buddhists. God loves, honors, values, and celebrates all of humanity. Our calling is to help the world see the value in every human being and to strive for peace and justice for every human being around the globe. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by God, so that grace may reign in your hearts, so that grace may reign throughout the world. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you see the frailty and failure in our lives, our fears, our worries, our anxieties. You know our burdens, our pain, our suffering. Transform us by your grace to become the people you created us to be, and then use us by your grace to transform the world. Amen.
You've been listening to the Reverend Susan Crowell, Senior Pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For a free transcript of her message, The Transformative Power of Grace, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. And remember, Day One depends on the financial support of our listeners. If you appreciate our ministry, please consider sending a donation. We're grateful for your support. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week on Day One, we're honored to welcome the Reverend Amos DeSassa, co-pastor of the Downtown Church, a Presbyterian church in Columbia, South Carolina. His message is entitled, Is, Was, and Is to Come. Don't miss this powerful sermon. Now, Susan Crowell offers some final reflections on today's sermon with our host, Peter Wallace.
Susan, you summed up this text from Paul's letter to the church in Rome with the word transformation. Paul argues that in Christ, grace becomes the structuring reality in our daily lives, you said. And Christ calls us to practice humility and sacrifice, to center our lives around grace. And in so doing, God transforms us so that we can use our lives to transform the world. That is such a powerful truth, and it's truly transformative. But say more about this concept of grace. It's a word we often use in church. We may not fully understand what it means. What is grace all about?
For me, grace is about giving people the benefit of the doubt. Mm. And that I think for me and for all of humanity, we're very quick to judge other mm-hmm. people. We're very quick to form opinions of other people. And I'm not saying I'm successful at this, mm-hmm. But I try. I do think it's about just looking at people, meeting people exactly where they are and trying to accept them for who they are. And then there's this extending of grace, which is about helping people understand that they are loved mm-hmm. and valued and honored and celebrated, and that God does that. Mm-hmm. But then how can we be a part of that and helping people know that they are loved and valued?
And as you pointed out, humility and sacrifice do not come naturally to human beings. Does God enable us to live in that way, or is there something we need to do to become more adept at humility and sacrifice in our daily lives?
I think it's all about God's work in our lives, but we can certainly put ourselves in places that can open us up to compassion and mm-hmm. humility. And sometimes I think it's just about saying, it's an act of the will. Mm-hmm. I am going to do this thing. And I refer to tithing in the sermon. I think that's an example of that too. Yeah. I'm just going to do it. And then that's an act of the will. And then be amazed at how God will use that sacrificial practice to change your life, to open your heart. So just do something and then let God work in your life through mm-hmm. that thing that you're trying to do.
God is at work transforming our lives so that we might transform the world, you told us. So how do you see folks living in God's grace in order to actually make an impact on the world in this way?
I see it every day. In fact, that's a practice I have of being able to name that at the mm-hmm. end of the day of the places that I've seen how that happens. And so I see it just in individual interactions between people. So on a simple level, but where folks are really making a difference for that one person. And I also see that hearts and minds are opened. Mm-hmm. And in some people, I thought I would never see that, that makes folks much more open and accepting of other people.
Mm-hmm. Susan, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
It's really all about God's power to change us, and that even when you are so lost in brokenness and pain and suffering, and all you can see is how broken you are and broken the people are around you, but that even in the midst of those terrible situations, God has the power to infuse that situation with grace and to bring healing and hope and transformation.
Mm. Susan Crowell, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.